Welcome back to this Monday edition of the Hagmann Report. We're going to be joined by Dr. David Berman in just a few moments. We're going to cover a whole host of issues from the news, politics, Christianity, Islam, and a whole lot more with Dr. Berman once he joins us. I don't know if you guys saw this today. We mentioned this on our show. The Washington Post has an article about Drudge, and the article talks about how Drudge links to Russian propaganda. And what was one of the examples they used as Russian propaganda? InfoWars. The writer of the Washington Post piece has a problem with Drudge linking to RT, and specifically, he points out the Russian propaganda arm, InfoWars, as a sign that Drudge is in bed with the Russians and Trump. A very interesting article, and Drudge pushed back on Twitter yesterday, and basically laughed at the allegations and talked about how he drives 37% of their offsite traffic to Washington Post, and he doesn't even get a thank you. Instead, he gets attacked. Pretty interesting story.
But I do believe this is the process in which we will be censored. I think that, as a matter of fact, there are people today attempting to silence us through lawfare, as I had mentioned earlier, and through taking our content and burying it, burying it so deep that you're not going to find it via search engines. You've got this all taking place. And I think that if they can do it, and they are doing it to Drudge, accusing him of being this Russian agent or propaganda arm for the Russians, they're going to do it to us. And this is one of the tactics. And this, welcome to 2017. Welcome to 2017 going into 2018.
Quick announcement here. 1 hour ago from Fox News, Jeff Sessions directs prosecutors to evaluate certain issues involving Uranium One.
Yep.
And Hillary Clinton leaves door open for a special counsel. I'm going to post this article up on Hagmann Report so you can find it, but it talks about Jeff Sessions directing senior federal prosecutors to evaluate certain issues in Uranium One dealings and their alleged unlawful dealings related to the Clinton Foundation, leaving the door open for an appointment of another special counsel. So, we'll see.
Interesting.
Maybe.
Well, now, before we move on, I just want to say this. Do you have that special someone, perhaps, in your professional life that you'd like to give them a gift? You don't know what to give them, for example. Let me just toss that out there. How about the gift of food? How about Omaha Steaks? Man, I'll tell you something. I can tell you this. I've sent this package to somebody who has done a lot of nice things for us and for the office. It's the family gift pack. It makes a great professional gift. In fact, we have ordered this for ourselves, for the Hagmann household, and it's fun to receive. You get this in a insulated box, and everything's labeled, and it's perfect. But let me tell you about the family gift pack, because Omaha Steaks is the best. For only $49.99, you can get our family gift pack when you go to omahasteaks.com and enter our code HH in the search bar. That's 75% off. Now, Omaha Steaks, they offer unique gifts for gourmet food lovers, including over 500 gourmet gifts. And the most flavorful tender aged beef. They have seafood and poultry and pork and veal and lamb. And they've got online recipes, wine pairings, and more. You can't get any better than this, really. Right now, Omaha Steaks is giving an exclusive savings just to our listeners. Listen to everything that you'll get for less than $50. Now, listen to this. 2 filet mignons, 2 top sirloins, 2 boneless pork chops, 4 boneless chicken breasts, 4 burgers, 4 potatoes au gratin, 4 caramel apple tartlets, 1 Omaha Steak seasoning packet, 4 kielbasa sausages, and you'll get 4 additional kielbasa sausages free. That's right. Go to omahasteaks.com and enter our code HH in the search bar, and you will get 75% savings That's $49.99, under $50, 75% savings. You can't beat this. Go to omahasteaks.com, enter HH in the search bar, get 75% savings. It's the gift, guaranteed to be a hit. Again, we've used it. We've sent it to one of our professional colleagues. Got a call saying thank you so much. And what a great way to show your appreciation. And what a great way to feed yourself, too. Just take a step and do it. You're gonna be thanking us later, because it's fabulous. And Joe and I, we love the filet mignon steaks, and we love the top sirloins are delicious as well. My wife cooks them up really well. You can cook them on the grill, cook them inside. It's great. But remember, HH in the search bar, omahasteaks.com.
Love those steaks.
Yes, we do. Now,
all right, with us,
yes,
is Dr. David Berman. We're going to bring him on, and instead of us going through the bio, he's got a huge, extensive background in radio and ministry, and he's an author again. We got one of his latest pieces, Why Do My Jewish Brethren Vote Liberal?
That's a mystery that he can uncrack that, right?
Yeah. Dr. David Berman, welcome to the Hagman Report.
Hey, so good to be with you guys. Really excited about being with you.
Well, we're excited to have you, and thanks for coming on. We really appreciate that. If you can, rather than us read from a resume, and just tell our audience about yourself, because you've got an impressive background.
Well, I've been in ministry for many years, about 26 years as an ordained minister of the gospel, and during that time I spent a whole lot of time on radio and television discussing particularly worldview issues. Problems with our society, every hot button topic you can imagine, done all kinds of things like that, lots of radio, lots of television, and planted two churches, had a business started when I was 20 years old, so I have quite an extensive history, not only in ministry, but in business. I'm married to my beautiful wife for 33 years, we have five children, five grandchildren, and I have been passionate first about the Bible itself and about the gospel. It's the most important thing to me, is winning people to Christ and making disciples. The absolute most important thing. But secondarily to that, I'm very concerned about culture. I'm concerned what's happening to our country, particularly in the area of worldview, where young people have no idea what the Judeo-Christian ethic is. They have no idea what the constitutional worldview is. And so it's very important to me to bring that. And you did say, as you mentioned, that article that I sent you. That article is about my Jewish brethren. I am a Christian Jew. And I wondered why my Jewish brethren, my brethren after the flesh, as it were, always seemed to vote liberal. And so I began to think about that based on my history, my upbringing as a Jew, and understanding the Jewish history in the world and in America.
Excellent. Yeah, you. I was looking over your history and some of the things you've done. I see the podcast up on the website here. Let me get the website. Is it Church Life? Not Church Life.
It's CF or CLFchurch.com, correct?
Thank you.
Yes, that's the church I'm the senior pastor of. I planted that church 22 years ago in New Hampshire. I did what we call a parachute drop plant. We didn't have any support to speak of, very little support. Just went there and planted the church, and I'm a Missionary Alliance pastor. And that church has become very successful. We've won so many people to Christ, one over 1,000 people to Christ, made lots of disciples, and trained musicians, trained four pastors through that. I'm also district mentor for Christian Missionary Alliance in the New England district, training pastors as well. So my history is extensive, not only in ministry, but in business as well, which I think gives me a well-rounded understanding of what's happening in our country and an ability to articulate our worldview.
Excellent. Let's start by talking about the state of the Christian church today. We just saw a week ago, 8 days ago, the latest church shooting in Texas, where I believe 26 were killed. And it was a big shakeup to many Christians living in this country. It was an awful shooting, but this isn't the first, nor will I assume it is going to be the last. Let's talk about the Christianity being under attack from outside forces today, whether it is, you know, the media, the institutions of business and politics. We see that there is this push against Christianity today, and not only from the outside, but also from the inside too, unfortunately. What do you see happening with the Christian church as far as the perception of Americans anymore?
Well, I can go back really early on in the 80s, and I was saved in the early 80s, and I began to see rather quickly the hostility against the gospel, against Christian people. And then as I was pastoring in Connecticut at the first church I planted with another pastor, I was preaching, and I remember preaching to the people and explaining to them what is coming. I could see it. I could feel it. I'm a student of history, and I understand spiritual things. And I could see very clearly that persecution was coming. And when I would say that, they were looking at me like I was crazy. They just didn't think that was going to be the case because, you know, remember in the 80s, there wasn't any real serious hostility like there is now. There was hostility, but not like there is now in America. And clearly, and unfortunately, I was right about that. And we've seen a steady attack on the outside and on the inside. On the inside of the church, we've seen an attack from what's called the emergent movement, which is really just warmed over liberalism. The idea that, you know, the cardinal doctrines of Scripture are not that important. It's more of a social gospel, making people feel good about themselves, watching their self-esteem, and all that kind of nonsense. Then you have an outward attack from the left that does not want us to even have free speech anymore. That's why they've labeled our speech hate speech. And once you label someone's speech hate speech, well, who gets to decide that? Well, they get to decide that. Then they get to outlaw our speech. Now you have such a hostility against Christian people, against the gospel, against preachers, and your average Christian person, that now we have people shooting up churches. And I think the churches really need to wake up and understand that they need to defend themselves and be ready to defend themselves. Let me make it very clear, I am not a pacifist. I believe in self-defense. I believe in the Second Amendment. I won't go anywhere without my weapon, and I will defend my people to the death if necessary. We have got to, as a church, first of all, come back to the doctrines of the gospel, the doctrines of the Bible, the classic cardinal doctrines of Scripture, and stop whining and making excuses for people getting upset at us and wanting to please the ears of those that hate Christian people. Why do we believe that somehow we're going to tickle the ears of unbelievers and get them to come in the church, besides the fact that if they come in the church and they come in to hear something that is not the true gospel, they're not coming to Jesus anyway. So you've got to preach the gospel, you've got to tell the truth, and you've got to be ready for the attacks intellectually to be able to defend the faith. And also, I think it's important to be ready physically to defend your people.
I love it. I just want to interject this. I think this is so important. We had somebody on, I don't remember, this is a couple of years ago now, I think, and I believe it was a pastor. Joe, you don't have to say the name. In fact, I don't even know who it was. I can't remember, but saying, you know, if my family was being attacked, I'd have to pray whether I would defend my family, because that's what Christians would do. That's what a true Christian would do. And I wanted to vomit. You know, I'm sorry, but what you just said, I believe, is accurate. You know, it's our God-given responsibility, is it not, to care for our family? I mean, as well as our, in your case, your congregation. It's your responsibility, right?
This is an attack on manhood.
Right.
This has always been an attack on manhood. There's been an attack on manhood in this country like we've never seen. You got people telling, just today I read a report from Occidental College where one of the professors is saying that, you know, beware of men that identify as men. I mean, are these people insane? They're nuts. They're demonized. They're insane. And let me just make this very clear. I believe, and let me say this ahead of time, I don't want to discourage people who have a pacifist mindset, because I think there are some people that, you know, they have a sincere mindset, and I understand why they do, but I'm not. I don't agree with them. I have a responsibility to defend my family, my wife, my children, and my Christian brethren and my countrymen from attacks. And I am not going to stand by and watch somebody hurt anybody that I know without fighting. I'm going to tell you right now, and some of that I think comes from my being Jewish. I remember as a kid watching pictures of the Holocaust. I remember asking myself, why didn't they fight? Why didn't they fight? And then as I grew up, I realized that the reason they didn't fight in the beginning was because they just was so horrific. They didn't realize what was coming. But we are students of history. We have hindsight. We know what happens when people become demonized like the Nazis were. And let me tell you right now, there are plenty of those kinds of mindsets in this country who want to destroy and kill people particularly Christian people. And I believe Christian people ought to defend themselves, defend their brethren, and defend their countrymen.
You know, the attacks that we see outside the church from, you know, the mainstream, from the left, attacks on the speech, attacks on our beliefs, attacks on Jesus and his teachings. We are told in scriptures that that's going to happen and to expect this. We're also told in the scriptures to expect an apostasy. And what you said,
you can expect it, but not accept it.
Exactly. Yeah, and exactly. What you said in the beginning here about the churches becoming, you know, so turned over to the world that they are changing what even is in scripture in order to placate to the world. It's very dangerous. And one thing that really is so aggravating is to see, you know, these Christians who take, you know, that have this liberal mindset and who are watering down the word of God. Do you believe that the church is going to continue to conform to the world, at least a majority of it, until it is basically out of existence from for whatever reason, whether it's a political thing or the people stop coming? Do you believe that they're going to basically dig their own grave and continue down this path?
Well, I think without a doubt there's a segment of, we say the church, and I don't even want to say the church because I don't think they're the church. I mean, we call them the church because churches in America who claim to be Christian, we continue to call it a church. But really, the church is the remnant of people that are actually following the scriptures. What I mean by following scriptures, not that we're perfect, but we attest, we agree, we testify to, we hold to, we are not ashamed of that which God has said, even though sometimes we don't always live up to everything because we're human beings. The problem with the liberal church is that they're church in name only. They don't believe in, they don't reverence the word of God, they don't reverence God's word and his authority, and so they have tried to water that down with worldly thinking because they're postmodern. And this is a huge problem that has affected society. So the thought is, well, let's just become postmodern, then we can get young people or people to come to church. Well, I got news for you. I got tons of young people in my church. Someone said to me one time, how do you win a millennial to Jesus? And I kind of laughed. I chuckled, you know?
That's a good question.
And this is what I told him. I said, this is how you win a millennial with Jesus. You tell him that unless you're born again, because you're an enemy of God, because you're a sinner just like me, you're going to end up in hellfire, separated from Almighty God. And that's why Jesus was sent to save your soul. And the only difference between me and you is I've received Christ as my Savior. I'm no better than you. You need to come to Jesus just like anybody else of any other age. But the problem is we have churches today that don't want to do that because they're more worried about people sitting in the seats than they are about people sitting in the kingdom. That is the problem. And I will not give in. Relentless, I'll tell you. I will not give in. And, you know, the interesting thing is my church is full. I'm out of room. I need a bigger building. And I haven't compromised the scriptures one bit. If you look at the mainline churches, they're compromising the scriptures and they're dying. What we do see, however, is sort of a new church that is emerging, that is really using entertainment, trying to be relevant in entertainment, that sort of thing, to keep people to coming to the church, but there's no substance. The substance is in Christ, and as long as the church is unwilling to preach the gospel, the church will not grow. The church only grows when the kingdom grows, and the kingdom grows only when people come to Christ. That's what the kingdom of God is, the expansion of his kingdom in people, and you have to come to Jesus for that. I'm tired, I'm sick, I want to vomit over people wanting to win people to Jesus without Jesus. Doesn't work that way.
There you go. Now we're talking. And that's what you just said there. It's an interesting play on words, or not play on words, but it's an interesting phenomenon that we're seeing take place. I don't even know how that's possible, but yet it's in progress today.
You know what it is, brother? It's the isms of Jesus that they like. You know, the isms. So it's sort of this philosophical position of, well, how about the where Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself? That's a Jesus-ism to them. You know, a saying that most people sort of, who are decent people who are not saved, and we know there's a lot of people who aren't saved that from a human standpoint are sort of decent people, and they hear something like, you know, love your neighbors yourself. They like that. Jesus loves you. God loves you. Love is patient. Love is kind. A lot of people agree with that from the standpoint of sort of a human, you know, sort of viewpoint of what would be nice and what is not nice. What they miss is that we're sinners. We're separated from God by this internal sin that we're born with. And if people don't understand that, look in the mirror. I look in the mirror, and I tell you right now, I don't see a man that's going to save himself. I see a man who sinned against God. I see a man who continues to struggle sometimes with attitudes or whatever that we have. And I see a man that needs Jesus Christ. And unless we understand this, people are going to die with a false sense of security. They're somehow in a relationship with God when they know nothing about him or that message and have never repented. So, yeah, we have a real problem here. And if we don't make a decision as ministers, and I'll tell you where it's really a problem in the Bible colleges, where the liberals have come in and taken over every institution. If we don't make a decision to have fine pastors that are going to preach the word of God that don't believe they work for the people, but rather believe they work for God, we're going to continue to see the church suffer in this country and be smaller from the standpoint of numbers of church. But we will continue to see the church grow in the remnant because God will have his church.
Okay, if you don't mind, go over that one more time, what you just said there about working for the people, working for God.
Yes.
Give that to me one more time.
Well, I've actually stood up in front of my congregation and said this numerous times, and you can ask anybody in my congregation, they will attest to this numerous times. I've said to them, listen, you have to understand something. I don't work for you. You compensate me because God has commanded you to compensate me as a minister of the gospel, but I don't work for you. And as soon as I believe I work for you, you become my boss. As soon as I believe you're my boss, I'm worried about losing my job. But you see, this isn't my job. This is my life. If you don't want me, you can tell me that, and I'll move along somewhere else where they will receive me. Now, that may sound arrogant to some people. I don't mean it to be arrogant. I mean it to be biblical. I don't work for the church. I work for God. I represent God in what I say, and he's going to judge every word I say. I'm not going to be afraid of the people's faces, and I've told my people that. If you don't want me, just let me know, and I will move on. I don't say that in an arrogant manner. I say that honestly, because the people of God need to understand that ministers are not hirelings that work for him. We are shepherds. And the people follow the shepherds. The shepherds do not follow the people. If you have a shepherd with a bunch of sheep and he follows the sheep are going to have a problem. The sheep have to hear the voice of their shepherd and they have to follow their shepherd. And so as a leader in the kingdom of God, my job is to preach the gospel. My job is not to tickle their ears. My job is to tell them the truth of the word of God. My job is also to bring church discipline if necessary. My job is to do those things, and I will do them. Sometimes people hate me for that, but Jesus said, the servant is not greater than his master. If they hated me, they're going to hate you. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. I understand that. I don't like that, but it's the reality, and I'm not willing to give up my position that God has placed me in for the purpose of tickling people's ears. I'm not willing to keep my position that God has placed me in for the purpose of tickling people's ears. If they don't want me, they can just say so. And I mean that sincerely.
I'm coming to your church this week. I'm gonna switch.
I think you'd enjoy it.
I know I would. CLFchurch.com is the website.
Do you do any live streaming?
I'm going there.
Of the church services?
We do, we have our sermon online all the time. We also, usually on Periscope, somebody's taping that and putting on Periscope.
Okay. But,
during all it's happening. And you can always get, our sermons online. We have an app as well, Sea Love Church, app as well to listen to our, sermons if you'd like. And of course, I'm available to speak and do media as well as speak and preach at churches and that sort of thing as well.
And for those who don't know where you're at, where are you physically located? Your church?
The church is in Swansea, New Hampshire, right out of a small city called Keene, New Hampshire, from the south corner. Oh, have you?
Oh,
wonderful.
Yeah. Yep.
And it is a uber liberal area, which is kind of interesting. I'm actually in the lowest churched area of the lowest churched state in the country. And we go back and forth with Vermont and Washington. We kind of fight between Vermont, Washington, and New Hampshire. And I mean, the Lord sent me here to plant this church 22 years ago. I remember when I walked up here and I sat down, I started talking to some people, and someone said to me, well, you need to speak to this particular individual. And I said, okay. So I called him. I said, hey, let's have some lunch. I told him, hey, I'm going to be planting a church here. And this is what the man said to me. He said, Pastor Dave, I appreciate what you want to do, but pack your bags and go back where you came from because you're never going to be able to establish a church like you're talking about here. It's not going to happen. I remember he made that. And in my good, stubborn Jewish way, I said, if you tell me that, I ain't going nowhere. And thank God by his mercy and grace, we've been able to establish a wonderful ministry with wonderful people. So many people come to Christ through this, and many have come to Christ and moved around the country and are preaching the gospel around the country. So we're really thrilled about that.
That's amazing, and I love that. I love that that challenge accepted, and of course, look where you're at now. And anyone around the Keene, New Hampshire area, and I use that as a point of reference, of course. Look up CLF Church, clfchurch.com, of course, for more information. Our guest is Dr. David Berman. He's going to be with us for the remainder of the program. Yeah, we've got a network break here, and when we come back from that, I want to ask Dr. Berman specifically about the shooting in Texas, or the shooting that we saw, but the attacks from without, and then kind of get into some other areas that I've got some questions. In anticipation of his appearance, I've got some questions for him. That I think a lot of people might have them. Folks, you're listening to the Hagmann Report. We're going to be right back. Network break, 3 minutes. Stay where you're at. Oh. what am I saying? You know, Tech Eric's saying, hey, you want to give us another 40 seconds here? Because, so, see, we don't do this for a living. That's all right. I did a commercial earlier, and it took me like 5 takes. Go ahead.
No, I was
35 words.
Sitting here, and I heard you do that. When we come back, now we're going to continue to talk with Dr. David Berman, not only about the Christian church, but Islam, abortion. I got a question about the Pope. We're going to talk about the political direction in this country, the political divide, as well as a number of other issues, so don't go anywhere, including his article, Why Do My Jewish Brethren Vote Liberal? We're going to get into that on the other side, so stay tuned.
Welcome to this edition of the Hagmann Report. Our guest is Dr. David Berman. His website, CLF, Christian Life Faith, just clfchurch.com, clfchurch.com. He's the author of Wake Up and Smell the Truth. It's a book that's been out a while, but is even more relevant today than it's been ever, I believe. It's a great book. Get yourself a copy of that. Seriously. It's a great book. It's
relevant today as it was back then.
Much, yes. Thank you for that. Now, T.C. Joseph, This Generation series. Folks, if you haven't gotten his books, you know, Christmas is coming up. I cannot think of a better Christmas gift than This Generation series by T.C. Joseph. Precipice, Pentecost, and Penance. You know, I usually don't necessarily like fiction books. I like history books. But these books grabbed me, really. They I love to read. My wife just says, you know, you ever going to stop reading? No, never. You know, even at the table. Of course I don't do that anymore. But I read all of the time. This Generation series by T.C. Joseph, the best of the best in terms of fiction. And I'll tell you, if you've got a family member who's not quite on board with the way things are going today with respect to events, give them this series. Give them the first of the series. Give them the whole series. Because I guarantee you, it's going to grab them by the ankles and say, wow, hey, this stuff is happening right before our very eyes. So go to This Generation series. Get them on Amazon, or go to This Generation series. Go to HagmannReport.com and click on the link to T.C. Joseph's series of books. Joe?
All right. Our guest is Dr. David Berman, and we have the rest of the show with him. So we got a number of areas we're going to get into. You wanted to ask about some of the logistics of the Christian
Texas shooting. Yeah, you know what, Dr. Berman, we saw the most horrific attack in Texas with the Devin Patrick Kelly go in there and just slaughter the church in the small town. Now I know you're ready for it, and we pray to God, of course, it never happens to your church or another church. But had he not been stopped, I believe he was headed, just based on everything I've been reading, headed toward another church. And the media is portraying this as you know, this disgruntled guy angry at his mother-in-law, you know, and mentally ill. Yeah. And I don't doubt any of those. But when I look at the true motive of this, I do believe the target here was the church and Christians. Yeah, I believe the mother-in-law was a factor, as drugs is a force multiplier. But we're seeing this attack against Christians.
Well, if his mother-in-law was the only issue, he would have shot his mother-in-law only.
Exactly.
Exactly. He shot everybody's eyes,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Including the babies.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's horrific. So,
why is this happening? And I think I, you know, I have an idea of why it's happening. My perspective is this. What we've done, you can also talk about the abortion issue and mention that, and it's the same problem, and that is we've devalued human life. And what the left has done has actually devalued the life of Christians, and here's how they've done that. It's no longer a disagreement with Christians. It's Christians are evil. It's no longer that, you know, we want a debate in the public square for having free speech debates about whether the Judeo-Christian family is the best way to go or traditional marriage is the best way to go. And those who believe in gay marriage and all that kind of insanity, they don't want to debate you on the merits of that. What they want to do is tell you you're evil and you're hateful and you are the enemy and you're devalued as a human being. And once you do that, you can't talk anymore to someone. History teaches us there's only one thing that's going to happen after you can't talk, and that's violence. That's why our founding fathers put in the Constitution the idea of free speech. Free speech means that if you don't like me and you say so, I protect your right to say that. I protect your right to say that you don't like Christians. I protect your right to say that Christianity is wrong. I protect your right to say that, because if you don't have the right to say that, I don't have my rights. But the left does not believe in individual rights. They believe in the collective. And they're going to rule from on high and centralize power, dehumanize anybody who disagrees with them. It's what they've done to babies, and it's what they've done to Christians as well. They murder babies because they're dehumanized, not quite human. And Christians now are not quite as intellectually developed as these elitist atheists and secularists. And so if you start, then you take that, and you combine that with a madman listening to that kind of talk, and you have a recipe for disaster. Also, the left and the secular people don't realize that there are spiritual forces at work, and that this man was not only mentally ill, he was demonized, full of the devil. And because of that, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and he came to kill and steal and destroy the people in that church and ruined everything that church has built. And that's why he was motivated by his own mental problems and sinful nature and the forces of hell.
Hmm. We see
very
this,
well said, too.
We see this rise of this, you know, what they say that we're intolerant because of our beliefs. And if you remember, what, maybe about 10 years ago, we saw this popular phrase that they like to use, that, you know, don't push your faith down our throats. And now, you know, we are not even allowed to talk about it, as you just pointed out, and the hostility against Christianity is at a fever pitch. And what many people here in America, especially in American churches, don't understand is what we saw last Sunday is something that happens all across the world, especially in the Middle East. I remember just one example. Last Christmas, a church in Egypt full of Coptic Christians was blown up and assaulted with machine guns, and hundreds of people were murdered. Yep. Things like this happen all across the world, unfortunately. Now, you know, we are seeing some of it come to America. There was a church shooting about 4 weeks ago that went completely underreported. I think it was an African-American man came into a church, shot a few people, and said it was in revenge to the Dylan Roof shooting. Pastor, do you believe we're going to get to a point where we are, as Christians, if we are going to talk about the Bible, about Jesus, are going to have to do so underground? Do you think it's going to get to the point where we really are not only persecuted, but the word of God will become illegal in this country?
Well, my personal opinion is that we're Americans, and we're much different than most other people. I'm not saying we're greater than anybody. I'm just saying our tradition is different. And I just don't think your red-blooded American Christian man is going to stand by and have anybody take our guns away and outlaw our ability to speak the truth of the word of God. We'll go to war first.
Mm-hmm.
I know why.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that. I'm not, and I'm telling you this, I'm not saying this in some braggadocious way or trying to be, you know, controversial. I'm just telling you that I watched as a young child, I watched the videos and the pictures of my people being burned and killed and shot and put in ditches in Germany. And I always said to myself, I'll never go that way. And I have a look of anger in my face right now, because let me just tell you, that angers me. And I will not stand by and have anybody violate the most basic rights of me and my people. It's not going to happen, not while I'm alive. And I mean that. That's not hyperbole. I mean it. And I believe there's a lot of Christians in this country that at some point you push them. At some point they're going to say, that's enough. And I do believe, and I hope I'm wrong about this, but I do think we're going to come to some sort of a civil war at some point if something doesn't change, because we have such a breakdown in the communication between the two sides. And when you can't have a conversation, as I said earlier, it always turns to violence. That's why our founding fathers wanted it to be free speech. We want us to be able to talk to each other, even yell at each other, even insult each other, but not fight physically. But that's going to happen when you have a situation where you're not allowed to speak anymore and the two sides cannot have any conversation. When that happens, that leads, history teaches me, that leads to some sort of a civil war, whether it's a nationwide one or not, I don't know. It might be a pocketed one in certain areas, but I'm telling you, that's coming.
I believe that, yep.
I will tell you this, the left is absolutely relentless.
Oh, yeah.
They never, ever be satisfied with how much freedom they take from you until they have a complete and total Stalinist regime. They will not be satisfied. They're never satisfied with government control. They're never satisfied with controlling everything you can say and do, controlling your property, wanting your money, wanting to tell you how to raise your children, all that stuff. They're never satisfied. Conservative people tend to be like, just leave me alone and let me live my life. And that's why it takes longer, I think, for conservatives to finally say we've had enough. But when they do, believe me, it's going to be serious, because red-blooded Americans had enough of this nonsense. Enough.
Amen to that. And I think that most conservatives have this problem with tolerance. It's not that we are intolerant. We are too tolerant. We tolerate so much.
Right. Well, let me say this. Here's another thing. Here's a newsflash for people watching who may not know this. The church is not inclusive. It's exclusive. You understand me? There's a way for you to be included in it. You come to Jesus. But it is a body membership of the body of Christ. People are following Jesus Christ. That's the church. The church is not anybody who just happens to come to it. It's people who've been born again who are following Jesus. And that's the exclusiveness of it. It's only exclusive to those who have accepted Christ as their Savior. That's what the church is. It is the body of Christ. It is inclusive from the standpoint of saying, if you want to be included in it, come to Jesus, repent, ask Christ to be your Savior, receive Him and His Word, and then you'll be part of that. But it is this mindset that the church is not, it's not an entity that God has established that means something. It makes me crazy sometimes, because I'm hearing pastors talk sometimes like, listen, man, you better get back to the Word of God.
Right.
What is going on here?
And this kind of segues into this, something that it just blows my mind, where you've got this, Chrislam developing, or this alliance between Christians and this Islamic imams that, come on in and, you know, we all worship the same God, which we don't. And it's just this Islamic worldview being forced upon the American people by the left, but being worse than that, being accepted by Christian pastors. And it just doesn't make sense to me.
Well, I think, brother, no Christian pastor is going to accept Islam. So they can have a cross on their building, they can carry around a Bible, they can put a bumper sticker on their car, and they can tell you they're a Christian pastor, but they're not. Any Christian pastor knows, unless he has no training at all, and if he has no training at all, he shouldn't be a pastor. You know what you're talking about. I studied Islam for 3 years because I wanted to make sure I knew what I was talking about. The God of Islam is a false God. It's not a God at all. Mm-hmm. The God of Islam actually is a political ideology of a group of people that are run by demonic forces that teach them world domination. The difference between Christianity and Islam is there's a huge, huge bridge to get to that. Believe me. The God of Christianity is completely different. Jesus Christ, God himself manifested in the flesh, left the throne, came to fleshly earth, dwelt among sinners because of his love for us, and gave his life on the cross and rose again from the dead to give us life, eternal life. And when he sees us when we die, the angel of death will pass over us because of the blood, because he first loved us. That is not the God of Islam. Not the God of Islam at all. And Islam, what Islam has done is the same thing they do everywhere, which is they start out by saying, oh no, you have your religion, I have mine. which is what the Quran says. But here's where the problem comes in. Westerners don't understand that the worldview of Islam is different than the Christian worldview, so they look at Islam with a Christian worldview, and they read a passage of scripture, they're quoted to them, you have your religion, I have mine, but they don't understand. They don't understand the doctrine of abrogation in Islam, which says that the last thing that Muhammad said supersedes anything he said previously. And so if you read Surah chapter 9, you will find out what Muhammad's deal is. And when Islamic people come in small numbers, they're very cordial and very nice. Once they get to be about 10%, then they start demanding hardcore, and they're looking to every institution to influence the American institutions, and the left is helping them, which blows my mind. Now, let me, if I may, tell you why.
Sure.
Somehow, well, we Christians, for example, we believe that the man is the head of the home. The father is the leader, the spiritual leader. The husband is the spiritual leader. And a woman should submit to her husband's leadership under the things of God. We very clearly believe that men ought to love and be an honor and treat their wives with respect and honor and even give their lives for the wife if necessary. The left doesn't like that. They call us male chauvinists. They call us unfair. And they say this is not right. Yet they support Islam, which, I mean, are you kidding me? The burqa from the top of the head to the bottom of the feet, to beat the woman in the town square, to hit your wife if she doesn't listen to you, the honor killings, the way they treat women is horrific, and yet the left accepts them. And I think the reason why they do is because somehow they think they're going to use Islam to bring about what they want in the left, which really is a globalization. But listen, man, when you can't put that wolf back in the bag,
mm-hmm.
I mean, they think they're not going to get bit by this wolf.
Yeah.
I mean, they're out of their minds. They're absolutely out of their minds. They don't understand the threat of a worldview which is completely and diametrically opposed to the Judeo-Christian ethic this nation was founded on, which brought us great freedom and prosperity.
But see, is that not their angle, though? Don't these two groups align because they are both so opposed to the Judeo-Christian worldview in itself?
Indeed, but the left somehow thinks they're going to be able to use Islam to get their way. And somehow then Islam's going to sort of back off once they get their way?
Yeah.
Is that what they think?
I don't know. It's a good question.
They're out of their minds. They're asking for some serious problems, not only in the country itself, but personally, because I'm going to tell you right now, the first person the Islamic radicals are going to kill are the liberals.
Mm-hmm.
The people are going to kill. Because
yeah.
They're the most opposed to what they believe in. So, you know, from the standpoint of anything, I mean, you, why is it that they don't say anything about homosexual, the idea that Islam is totally against homosexuality and throws homosexuals off the buildings? We don't believe in doing that. We don't believe in hurting people that disagree with us. I would never condone beating up somebody who's sinning in some way who I don't agree with. I would never condone such a thing. We have no interest whatsoever in physically hurting anybody. We believe in self-defense. In defense of our countrymen and brethren, we don't want to hurt anybody or beat anybody up or being. I've met many of homosexuals. I'm very kind to everybody I meet. If we have a conversation, I tell them they need Jesus. But Islam throws homosexuals off of buildings. I mean, what is wrong with these leftist people? They're out of their minds. At that woman's march, and I hate to call it that, I call it Jezebel march.
Yeah.
Those are not women. Those are Jezebels. They were bowing down and to an imam who was doing some Islamic prayer. Are these people out of their minds? The answer is
yep.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
Yeah, they are. And it is, as you just stated several times, these people are, they're crazy. They're out of their minds. And, you know, we ask a number of different guests, political guests on the show, you know, do they believe that liberalism is a mental disorder, especially how we see it going over this last 18 months. Some
yeah.
say no, but a majority say yes, and I hate to put it in terms like that, but there's no other way to describe the
yeah.
Just the complete abandonment of reality. And you know, these people with their agenda are just so unhinged with the Islam, and it's not even only the politicians too. The church, from what we know, has a big hand in, and they make a lot of money in bringing over immigrants and refugees from the Middle East. Have you heard anything about churches padding their pockets with the money that they've been bringing over from immigrants?
Of course, the Catholic Church is doing that. The Lutheran Church is doing that. A lot of churches are doing that. They're getting paid big money for working in these things, and they're bringing over immigrants that don't have the same worldview that we do. So, and just to go back to what you said about is liberalism a mental disorder, there's no other way to describe it. Respectfully, I might want to give you another way to describe it respectfully. I think it's a strong delusion. I think that God has lifted his hand. I think people are demonized. They're demonized. They make no sense. They make no logical sense. They call us, and I've been called this many times, you're one of those stupid Christians. You don't believe in science. You don't believe in what's right and wrong from the standpoint of what we see and we can observe. You're one of these crazy faith people, all this stuff. I'm hearing that from people that can't tell the difference between a man and a woman. And they're telling me I don't know science.
Mm-hmm.
These people are nuts. And you could call it mental illness, I guess, but I really believe, in my personal opinion, it's a strong delusion. I think that God is lifting his hand off America. He's lifting his hand off and saying, you really want to go that way? I'm going to let you go that way. And I think there's a lot of folks that are so illogical, have no idea what they're talking about, and support things like people identifying as anything they want to identify as. We had a girl identify as an African American. We have some guy identifying as an alien. We have a woman identifying as a cat. I wish I was making this stuff up. This is the stuff you see in the news all the time, and we're told that we don't believe in science. We're told we're the dumb ones. We're not intellectual. And these are the people that are telling us that, the people that are supporting this stuff. There's a strong delusion over this country, and there's a strong delusion over the liberal church. Strong.
Well, and I think it's important, too, the words you're using, we can, as... Well, as Christians ourselves and as Christian conservatives, I think listening to you, this is important because you can, and you are teaching us how to counter the arguments that we see. After the church shooting, the horrific church shooting, I was, perusing various message boards, mostly on the liberal side. In fact, all of them on the liberal side or the progressive side saying, basically, this is proof. There is no God. If there was a God, this wouldn't have happened. God would not have allowed his people to be slaughtered. Where are your prayers now? How well did your prayers work? And you get the idea. You know, and I guess I brought that up now is, the reason I brought that up now is, how would you counter that? Because you did so well with the other argument as, you know, with respect to, the science versus you can't even decide, you know, what gender you are. But how would you counter something like that?
Well, I think the first question you have to ask yourself is, you know, have these ever people ever read the Bible? Have they ever read the Bible? Have they ever read what Jesus said? Have they ever saw in the Bible where the apostles were persecuted? Do we know that the apostles were martyred? Do they have any idea what they're talking about? The answer is no, they have no idea what they're talking about. The fact of the matter is that Christian people are martyred all the time. We were told that's going to happen. We were warned, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. They will persecute you. They will kill you and think they're doing the work of God. That only confirms the scripture. Now, you may not like it. People may not like it. But that's the fact that Christian people sometimes are martyred. That's unfortunate. But that's the truth. And we see that in the early church. We see it for the first 300 years in the Roman Empire, killing of Christians and jailing Christians. We see that Paul was on the road to Damascus to arrest Christians when the Lord met him. So they don't understand at all any of the economy of God, any of the move of God, any of what a martyr is. They don't understand anything of how martyrdom sometimes increases the kingdom of God because through the blood of martyrs that happens sometimes. These people are spiritually dead. They don't have a clue what they're talking about. They'll tell you they're spiritual, but they're soulish. They don't know the difference between spiritual and their soul. They don't know a thing about the kingdom of God, about what the enemy does, about the battle that we're in, nothing about it whatsoever. So they comment authoritatively like, where was your God? We'll tell you where our God was. Our God is exactly where he's always been. He's at the throne room, and his Holy Spirit is in the heart of the believer in Jesus Christ. And as in the Old Testament, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said to the king, our God will deliver us, but even if he doesn't, we won't bow to your stinking, rotten statue. Maybe they didn't use those words, but that's what they meant. They said, in the greatest faith, even if you kill us, we will not relent and bow to your statue because we serve the living God. And if he decides to take our lives, he decides to take our lives. He knows better than we do. That is the Christian perspective. And I don't expect the secularists to understand that at all.
Yeah. Doctor, we only have a few minutes left before our break. I want to ask you this on this side before we go into the next hour about the Pope. We've seen Pope Francis really champion a more progressive liberal agenda from Rome, and he has a lot to say about the president. He has a lot to say about the doctrines of the church. What do you think of this Pope?
Well, the Pope's a liberal. Let's face it, he's a liberation theology guy. He made a statement that I just had to laugh. I was like, wow. He said that it's ungodly to manufacture guns. And any company that makes guns is ungodly. You know, while he's protected by men who have guns. So that's absurd. And if he really believes that it's ungodly to have a gun, then he ought to walk around without an armed guard and not have a, you know, that should be the way it is. Just walk through the streets, not have any armed guards, not have anybody defending the Vatican. He's also said things about how ungodly it is not to let people come into your country who are immigrants, you know, like open borders. Well, I don't see him doing that in the Vatican, do you? I don't see, in fact, there's a big wall around the Vatican, and, you know, he has the power as the Pope to order that wall to come down if he really wants to. He is the Pope. He's not taking immigrants in. He's not lowering the wall. He doesn't have open borders. And you try going into the Vatican, squatting on someone's property, and see what happens to you.
Yeah.
So I don't like the Pope for a lot of reasons. Obviously, I don't agree with Catholic doctrine in many ways, but this Pope is beyond that. He just doesn't get it. He's cozying up to people that want to kill the Christians that are our enemies, and thinking that somehow you're going to convince these people to let you be. It doesn't work that way. Why don't these people who claim to be ministers of the gospel or men of God, why don't they read their scriptures?
Yeah.
Why don't they study history? Why don't they understand the human condition, understand what happens with the human condition? History is a great, great university. It teaches us so many things about the human condition, and I don't understand why people are the way this Pope is, other than they've just been blinded by the God of this world.
No, very well said. I couldn't agree more. Do you believe that the Pope still wields influence over Catholics at all? Do you think they listen to him? They follow what he says? And or do you think he's just turned it? The office has really just turned into a political, pseudo-political, religious position of power.
I would say he has great influence over certain areas of the world.
Dr. Berman, sorry, we're having some audio difficulties there. We lost your last sentence there. When we come back, we're going to continue talking with Pastor Dr. David Berman. I said that because John wrote it up that way on one of the emails. I thought that was pretty funny. We're going to get into a whole host of issues, from, you know, what is the solution to America's problems? Is there a political solution, a spiritual solution? We're going to talk about abortion. We're going to talk about racism. I also want to talk a little bit about the trend and increase in fake hate crimes we're seeing around the country. We're going to get into that, all that and more when we come back. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to this Monday edition of the Hagman Report.